Have you noticed that every year Christmas and busyness walk arm in arm? We go to crowded shopping centers, and then we get into traffic messes, and we spend time writing endless Christmas cards. We go to endless parties. We go to family gatherings. We have relatives that we wish we weren't with, that we're spending time with sometimes. We have opportunities at work. It's so busy. We get tired, we get frustrated, and it seems that our fast-paced lives, this just brings on an avalanche of more activity. And so what we all desperately need this time of the year is rest on the inside, rest in our souls. And a fresh look at the Christmas story can give us the soul rest that we desperately need. Now this year I read through the Christmas accounts of Jesus' birth in Matthew and Luke again. And as I read through this time, I saw something I had not noticed before, and it refreshed my soul. What I noticed in both accounts is the prominent role of the Holy Spirit. It's very intentional, especially for us busy people who need this. It's obvious, the first thing, Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and therefore the child would be called the Son of God. Joseph had an angel come to him. I've always wondered if Joseph said, yeah, right, of the Holy Spirit. But that's what the angel said. What's conceived within her is of the Spirit of God. And then Mary goes to her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, and when Mary shows up, John the Baptist does a backflip in the womb. And then Elizabeth was full of the Holy Spirit, and she began to praise the coming Savior. And Zacharias, I was just checking you. Okay. He's the guy that was the father of John the Baptist, and he could not speak for a while, remember? And they said, what do you name the child? And he writes down John, and then the Spirit of God fills him, and he praises the coming Savior. And then they take the baby Jesus to the temple to dedicate him, and there's a man named Simeon who shows up, and Luke emphasizes the Spirit of God three times with Simeon. He says the Spirit of God is upon him. The Spirit of God revealed to him, you'll not die until you see the Christ child. And then he came into the temple in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you put all these together and there's a wonderful aha, at least it was for me. In the birth of Christ account, every time the Spirit of God showed up, it was the same reason, to point us to Jesus. And everybody encountering the Holy Spirit ends up delighting in Jesus, and guess what the byproduct is? Rest in our souls. The only way we will have that internal rest in a mad rush society that's picked up even faster during Christmas is if we delight in Jesus, and then we have rest in our souls through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's what we're going to do on this Sunday closest to Christmas. We're going to do a sweeping overview of who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives, and then we'll spend the bulk of our time on, so how do I have a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit? How do I get this peace in my soul the Bible promises me? I'm reminded of the Olympics that took place in Atlanta several years ago. And it was fascinating that before the Olympics, they started in Los Angeles and they had a 119-day relay race where they were carrying the Olympic torch. And finally, they arrived in Atlanta and lit the Olympic torch. Now, imagine that somebody's in that relay race and they miss the point of the race. They think the point is getting there faster instead of running to preserve the flame. So suppose the relay comes and the guy gets it and he's thinking, you know, he made his relay in 3 hours, I'm doing 2.5. And then all of a sudden the wind comes. Now he's got a burnt wick. And he shows up in town, burnt wick. How embarrassing. He's got to go all the way back and light it again. What a story for us. The point of life is not getting there faster. We're a bunch of burnt wicks. The point as Christians is to run in such a way that the flame is burning and we light a fire wherever we go. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us do this. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is not on B team in the Trinity. He's not a junior deity. He is first string varsity, co-equal with God the Father and the Son. He has all of the attributes of God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a force. He is not a ghost. He is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. And this is the reason the Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. He's a person who can be grieved. We can quench him. We can resist him. We can lie to him. The Holy Spirit is God. And here's the point. He is the only power we have to live the Christian life. If you're depending on anything other than the Spirit of God to empower your Christian life, it's a dead ringer. You will be a defeated Christian. I, for years, was ignorant of the Spirit of God, sincerely wanted to be a strong Christian, and I was constantly discouraged and defeated because I didn't know who the Holy Spirit is, and I didn't know what his job was in my life. So if you're ignorant of this today, count on it. You'll be discouraged, defeated, and doggone tired on the inside. So what is the Holy Spirit's job description? What is he supposed to do in our lives? Now, this is my Christmas present for you. 16 things the Spirit of God wants to do in our lives. 16. Review this. Keep it in your Bible. Keep it by your bedside. Wake up every morning. Go through it. Pull it out at noontime. Review it. Know what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in our lives. If you're a parent, your children should not get out of your home without knowing these. This ought to be something that every child in your home knows who the Holy Spirit is, what he's responsible to do, or they will be defeated in the faith. First thing the Holy Spirit does is convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word convict simply means to convince. His job is to convince us of the sin of disbelief in Christ. It is sinful not to believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit convinces us. Here's God's righteous standard. I cannot live up to it. No matter how hard I try, I'm guilty before a holy God. And the Holy Spirit convinces us because of unbelief and sin, I am headed toward judgment and I will be held accountable before a holy God. The Holy Spirit pushes us to desperation so that we will delight in Christ and find rest for our souls. The Holy Spirit does this to unbelievers. He does it to believers. He's in the convicting business. When we believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for us and rose again, the Bible says we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, which simply means the Spirit of God comes to live within us. We're now part of the body of Christ. We're united with Christ by the Holy Spirit. This takes place the moment of salvation for every single believer. The next thing the Holy Spirit does is causes us to be born again. Literally, born from above. I have a brand new identity. The Spirit of God brings me to life from the inside out. The Holy Spirit indwells me. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, "It's a good thing I'm going away. Because when I leave, I'll send you the comforter, the helper, a helper like me, and he will be with you forever." You never get more of the Holy Spirit than you got the day you were saved. But guess what? The Holy Spirit ought to be getting more of you. He always dwells within us permanently. He seals us. We know those ancient wax seals that declare a uniqueness of the owner. We are belong to God and ownership. Nobody can open this but the one it's sent to. He seals our salvation. We're going to make it to heaven. We are sealed into Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit fills us. That means to be under the control of. Now, here's the difference. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why God commands us be filled. It parallels breathing. You get up in the morning, you don't take one breath and it lasts you all day. You just keep breathing. Keep yielding to, being under the influence. The parallel is being drunk. I've seen a lot of drunk people. How can you tell they're drunk? It affects their speech, their relationships, their coordination. How can I tell if I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit, drunk with Him? First thing, speech. What comes out of your mouth fills your heart. Second thing, relationships. And then praise, attitude. The Holy Spirit assures us of salvation. The Spirit of God comes within a Christian and constantly reminds you, you know who you belong to. You're not your own. You shouldn't be living that way. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. He is on a PR campaign. And every time the Spirit of God shows up, He points you to Jesus. Constantly. Delight in Him. That's His job. The Holy Spirit teaches and gives wisdom. We can open the Bible. He inspired it. We cannot understand it unless the Spirit opens our eyes. This is why every single time we gather to study the Word, before we do it, we pray, Holy Spirit, illumine our minds. We can't understand it without you. The Holy Spirit guides and He commands. And listen, the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has a voice. It's the Bible. And He guides you into biblical truth and He commands. He doesn't give suggestions. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Boy, I love this one. Have you faced times where you just don't have a clue how to pray? All you can do is just say, oh God, God help. Romans 8 says God takes those groanings, the Holy Spirit does, and brings it into the presence of God and prays for us according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit empowers us to work and witness for Christ. And here's the difference with the Spirit of God. God commands us to share our faith, to do good works, but the power doesn't kick in till we step out on faith. That's when the power comes. You don't stand back and say, when I get the power, then I'm stepping in. No, He says, you step in, I'll give you the power, by faith. The Holy Spirit produces in us Christ-like character. This is so convicting. The fruit, it doesn't say fruits, singular. Because if I get the Spirit of God, I've got all these available to me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if I don't have those, it's because I am resisting, quenching, and fighting the Spirit of God in my life. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. The day you trusted Jesus Christ, you were given unique spiritual gifts, a unique capacity to serve in the body of Christ. He gives them as He wills, not we will. He designed you for a unique role in the body of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He comforts and He counsels. He does it through the Word. He does it through people. And He does it by making the presence of God real in our lives. And the Holy Spirit resists sin and compels us to godliness. There's the sweeping overview of the Holy Spirit. And what would it look like if this was happening in our lives every day? We'd have rest in our souls. We'd be at peace. There'd be a power and an aroma of God about us. So our problem is not understanding this. You got the same problem I do. How do I get it? How do I have a relationship with the Spirit of God so this is actually real in my life? If I'm ignorant of the Spirit of God, I don't know who He is and what He does, then I don't have the capacity to put faith in Him because I don't know Him. I need to know the Word of God and who He is. Then my faith has an object. So the first step to having a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit is to know who the Holy Spirit is, to know what he's responsible to do, and then by faith, moment by moment, inviting him to do it. Let's read together Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, what a great promise. The desire of the flesh. What is that? If you have an anger problem, you've tried to break it over and over and you just can't. You're addicted to lust. You're selfish, bitter, self-righteous, greedy, full of pride. You're a perfectionist, a people pleaser, critical. We could go on and on. We all have those lusts. How can I possibly break it? Here's the promise. Walk by the Spirit. And it didn't say, and you won't have these desires. It says you won't carry them out. They will be cut short because they'll be replaced by a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what this is saying. As a Christian, I am not a helpless victim. There is no habit, no sin in my life I cannot crucify and kill and be freed from if I walk by means of the power of the Holy Spirit. My problem, if I'm given into these things, is I am absolutely refusing to depend upon the Spirit of God. That's my real problem. Let's read Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. A man read his Bible every day. And in the margin, he would always take out his pencil and write in it, YBH. So eventually, all through his Bible, in certain places in the margin, was YBH. One day, his wife was looking at his Bible, and she said, what's this YBH stuff? What is that? He said, that means, yeah, but how? Yeah, but how? How? I know who the Holy Spirit is. I know what he's supposed to be doing, but how? How do I get this? And this is where I want to spend the bulk of our time. I want to give you several things I found very practical and helpful to learn how to have a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first one is quite simple. Take the list right here. Memorize it. Why is that important? For years, I've developed this discipline. It makes every difference in the world. The second I wake up, I've disciplined myself to review the job description of the Holy Spirit. Just go through it and invite him. Today, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. You've got a job to do. Here's the vessel. Do it. I am totally yours. Review it every single day. Most people wake up, your mind starts spinning, you're irked at the people in your house, you're irked at people in the traffic, you're working with jerks again, you're worried. Start your day every day. Good morning, Spirit of God. I know what you want to do in me today. Here I am. Use this. Memorize Galatians 5:16, Galatians 5:22 and 23. Paul Martins, who used to be on our staff as a pastor, is now a great pastor in Rhode Island. He used to have a beeper on his watch that every hour would beep. And the reason he did that is every hour the beep was to remind him, Paul, are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? How's your heart? That's a good way to do it. First thing is just review it every single day. Now, if you're not in the habit of doing this, hang on. God will make you do it. How would he do that? Like this. Imagine that your life is like flying an airplane. You're cruising along at 35,000 feet, enjoying fellowship up in the cockpit. Engines are working, saying little nice sweet things to the people traveling with you. And all of a sudden, the instruments go crazy, the engines go out, and you start to dive. And immediately you're pulling back and you start to pray, oh God, help, help. And you see the ground coming and you get closer and closer and you pull back as hard as you can, and the belly of the plane is scraping the trees, and you're going, God! And you pull out, and you go back up to 35,000 feet. Why would God allow us to go through stuff like that? So you'll realize how dependent you are. Whatever's going on in your life, is if you're in a place where you're saying, oh, God, help! That's good. That's the way we ought to be living all the time. I can't do this. Holy Spirit, come through. Second thing I found very helpful is what is called spiritual breathing. I learned this years ago in college when somebody gave me this life-changing little booklet, Have You Made the Discovery of the Spirit-Filled Life? If you don't have a copy, they're all around the place near your compass today. Pick one up. This tells who the Holy Spirit is, what he's supposed to do in our life, and then how to be filled. Spiritual breathing is this. It's an exercise in faith in which if you sin and retake the throne of your life, you exhale, you confess your sins to God, you repent, and you claim his forgiveness. Then you inhale, you yield again to the power of the Holy Spirit. You do it over and over and over. Now, when I first learned this, this for me wasn't spiritual breathing, it was spiritual hyperventilating. When you're out of shape, if you run a 100-yard dash, you're like, but you get in shape, you can run a mile and not even breathe hard. If you get in the habit of moment by moment, when you sin, I confess it, Lord. I claim your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, come under my life today. I yield my life to your control. Spiritual breathing. The third thing I found very helpful, I call replacement thinking. Replacement thinking has to do with what your mental record is. Remember, the Spirit of God's voice is the Word of God. That's his only voice. If you don't know the Word of God, you're not hearing his voice. We have to get into the Word. And if you're neglecting God's Word every day, the only thing you've got left is your mental record. Some of you are masters of worrying. You could do a seminar with an accompanying video on how to worry 24/7 over anything. You've mastered it. And it's making you a wreck on the inside. The problem is your mental record. Now imagine that whatever your mental record is, worry, lust, anger, bitterness, whatever it is that you play over and over, if you try to stop it and just say, I won't do it anymore, it'll get worse. Let's suppose that our sin is represented by the number 5. And we all identify our number 5 sins and we make a vow. We're not doing it. We're not thinking about 5s. We're dead to 5. You know what'll happen? 5s will explode everywhere, everywhere. So what do? Every time 5 comes to my mind, I replace it with 2,183 divided by 12. I'm so busy figuring that out, I've forgotten 5. Now, whatever my sin is, I need to have scriptures that counter that, memorize it, and when I'm tempted to play that mental record, it's a reminder, run to your verses, review them. And yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Replacement thinking. This is why we need to be in the Scripture every single day. This is why you need to memorize Scripture. Replacement thinking. The next tool I found very helpful, I learned this from my wife. A few years ago, I went through the darkest time I've ever faced in my life. I considered whether I was qualified to be in the ministry. Every day when I woke up, I had a mental image of myself. I painted a picture of me. And it was described as lost, confused, discouraged, and full of fear. And I wasn't replacing thinking. I wasn't reviewing the Holy Spirit. I was about to go down. And my wife taught me the thing, frame it. I made a new frame. Every day, I deliberately, intentionally said, this is who I am in Christ. This is my future in Christ. I know what it's going to look like if I walk with him. And I'm claiming promises. He is building his church and I'm part of it. He's building me. And I'm one of his sheep and his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. And if you pray for laborers, a great harvest, it's coming. Just don't stop praying. In Ephesians 3, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you would ever ask or think if you get in tune with the Spirit of God and frame it. Now, some of you today, this is your frame. You wake up in the morning, you don't say, good morning, Lord. You say, good Lord, it's morning. You play the old stinking record again, and you're a crab all day long. Repent. wake up, good morning, Spirit of God, I'm dead without you, and let me have a picture in my mind of who I'll be today under your influence, and I'm claiming promises and allowing you to change my life. Frame it. Get a new picture. Get promises to go with it. Now let's get even more practical. We live in the rat race society. This is the capital of the rat race. We're at the peak of the rat race. Our lives are too full. We forget, and the Spirit of God is quenched by our very lifestyle. Go back to Genesis and it'll refresh your soul. Imagine why God said in Genesis, in creation, it was evening and morning. Why did he start that way? Evening and morning, evening and morning. Because of a principle. The work that we do starting in the morning is to come out of a place of rest. You rest in the evening, and then you get up and do your work, evening and morning. The rest available to us is in our soul by the Spirit of God. Begin your day at night. Go to sleep in tune with the Holy Spirit. Rest, get enough of it. Wake up in tune with the Holy Spirit. And then you work out of a place of rest empowered by the Holy Spirit. Another thing, we get so spiritual that we mess it up. You know, Adam was in the garden, and he didn't just have devotions all the time. He worked, and it was a godlike thing. And before Eve showed up, think about what Adam had. He had a perfect body, a perfect environment, beauty everywhere, lots of stuff to do, and he walked with God himself. And God said, not good. Why? He didn't have relationships. If you're not in relationship, healthy relationships, you're bitter, you're resentful, you're quenching the Spirit of God, and he's not empowering you. We need to pace our lives. We need healthy relationships. We need healthy work, but all under the control of the Holy Spirit. Here's the last thing I'll share with you. Write down the numbers 18/32. 18/32. That is not a date. 25 years ago, the first series I ever did at Cherrydale was straight through the book of Hebrews. And I learned the 18/32 principle. I went through the book over and over, and I discovered it gives you 18 guaranteed negative consequences that will definitely come into your life if you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a sample. You will grow a hard heart. You will be full of fear. You will be deceived. You will become bitter. You will lose heart, and you'll be useless in the kingdom of God. I don't like those. So here's some good news. I went through the book over and over, and I found that there are 32, almost double the negatives, 32 positive consequences that will come into my life every day if by faith I walk with Christ, delight in him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a sample. You will be confident in God and his promises. You will be strong in your faith. You will have joy. You will have rest in your soul. You will become discerning. You will be content. You'll break through quitting points. You'll experience the nearness of God. It's Christmas time, folks. We're in the rat race. God is saying, better way. Rest in your soul. That's why I sent you the Spirit of God. So there are only two kinds of people in the room. Some folks have never trusted Christ. And I want to tell you this morning, the Spirit of God has targeted you. And here's what he's saying. You aren't believing in Jesus. That's sinful. Repent. You've got sin in your life and you're headed to judgment. Your only hope is to run to Jesus. He'll forgive you and cleanse you. Run to him. Most of us know Jesus, but we're neglecting his word. We're grieving and resisting and quenching the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is saying, would you repent? Would you repent? If I took a sponge and I put it in water, it's now full of water. And then if I squeeze the sponge still in the water, less water fills the sponge. If I let go, it immediately fills up again. We are the sponge. The Spirit of God is in every believer, but I squeeze my life so tight, I'm in control. I grieve him. The moment I let go and I yield by faith, he fills me. Are you squeezing the sponge this morning? Let's do some business with God. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you can read every single heart. Spirit of God, you're here. And Holy Spirit, your convicting work is going on. For those being convicted who've never come to Christ, would you just respond today and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe in Jesus. Forgive me. Change me. And if you are a believer today, would you draw a line in the sand? From now on, Lord, every morning when I wake up, I'm reviewing who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. Throughout the day, I'm practicing replacement thinking. I'm going to reframe my life. I'm going to claim your promises. And moment by moment, I'll be under the control of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, transform us. Help us to learn to walk with the Spirit of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.